you're listening to the Party in My Plants podcast, and here's a prank that Jim should have pulled on Dwight, throwing a plant party in the office. Yep, this episode is all about how to eat healthfully at work without it being work. That's what she said. Welcome to the Party in My Plants podcast, where I make healthy living as fun as a party so you'll, you know, actually want to do it and then actually feel, look, and live your best. I'm your host, Talia Pollock. Now let's get this party started. Before we roll into this chat, I gotta tell you about Opry. No, not Opry Ski, although the Opry Ski is indisputably the best part about skiing. Am I right? But I want to tell you about Opry the beverage that has shaken up the way we think about ready-to-drink plant proteins forever and sticking a straw in it so we can slurp it up, which Jesse, my husband, holy schwa, I think that's the first time I've said that, my husband slurps up in record time because he's obsessed with it. Opry is this new and exciting and yummy, super clean replenishment drink. It's vegan, gluten-free, dairy-free, soy-free, and very, very low in sugar. Opry is designed to be the most perfect snack that fits the tab for post-workout, quick grab-and-go option for hurried mornings, a pick-me-up during your 3 p.m. slump, or as a bridge between meals on days where you need a little something extra, extra. And my hubby thinks it's the perfect dessert when he lifted heavy things in the gym earlier that day. And he loves the cold brew coffee and sea salt chocolate flavors. And Miss Wifey over here is all about the mint cacao and vanilla. And she's about taking it on car rides, although that means she'll have to pull over to pee, which she does anyway because she's always drinking so much water. The thing that makes Opry more than an Opry thought or an afterthought or something you should not try is that it's strategically created to help our bodies prolong the coveted endorphin-fueled glow that we all hopefully feel after exercise. Opry's bevies are designed with 13 grams of organic plant protein, yas, which come from peas, chia seeds, cacao, and hemp seeds, plus lots of hydrating coconut water, which I always chug after a workout anyway, and organic MCT coconut oil, which, if you remember in episode 73, the beautiful Mikhail Hill of Nutrition Strip taught us that MCT oils, or medium chain triglycerides, are a fat source that is very common in coconut oil and is used to help people like myself who can't very well handle the digestion of fat get filled up fast while providing quick energy that'll last. If you want to try Opry, which I think you should, you can stock up at drinkopry.com. That's D-R-I-N-K, drink, A-P-R-E-S, Opry with a silent S, .com. And you can save 15% off your first order, woohoo, with code PARTYINMYPLANTS. Again, in case you sneezed over that, go to drinkopry, that's APRES.com, and you can save 15% off your first order with code PODIUMAPLANTS. Now, onward to this plant party chat. As part of my October of rebroadcasting some of my favorite episodes that are related to wedding stuff, since I'm currently on my honeymoon in Cape Town, I couldn't not re-air an episode with a wedding guest whose bread and vegan butter is something so relevant right now as we're in the throes of fall, eating plants in a pantsuit or in whatever else you wear in an office. I'm in sweats and a tank top right now. Am I wearing a bra? Oh, wow. I actually put one on today. Go me. Anyway, my friendship story with my guest, Tracy Kendazora, is kind of adorable and a true testament to the power of the internet and the coolness of coaching. So Tracy signed up to be a private coaching client with me like 3 years ago, and we worked together for many, many months. Through our coaching, we became more like friends than a coach and coachee relationship, and eventually we dropped the coaching and just kept chatting as gal pals. Through my loving encouragement, I guess we could say, she ended up quitting her job to focus on her two passions, clean cubicle eating and hilarious wellness copywriting. And now she helps people with both. And she also helps me now with this here podcast. Yeah, she's gone from client to friend to contractor. And she came from Florida to also tack on the title of wedding guest too, which was honestly, the first time we ever met in the flesh. I hope she knows I don't normally wear dresses that nice or that white. Anyway, I think this chat with Tracy about balancing wellness with work without making clean eating a second full-time job is gold. And I hope you steal some tips and put them in your stapler drawer. Tracy, thank you so stinking much for coming on the podcast today.
Oh, Talia, thank you so much for having me. I'm really excited to be here.
Yeah, I mean, you're an expert in a topic that I am the opposite of an expert in. Healthy eating in the office place, in the cubicle, the cubes, LQB call, or whatever you want to call it. But you know a lot about stuff that I don't because I've never worked in a cubicle. So I don't feel like I can give proper advice on how one can eat clean in their cubicle. And I feel like, you know, it's back to work time. I mean, September just feels like back to school, back to work. You know, everyone was kind of hanging around in August with those casual Fridays or summer Fridays, whatever it's called. And, you know, you have a whole freaking program about having peeps eat clean in their cubes. So I figure you might have a few things to say on the topic.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I worked in an office for like 10 years, so I learned a thing or two. And when I really started to clean up my diet, that's when I found out like how challenging and difficult it really can be to stay healthy when you're working in an office.
Oh, gosh. I mean, I've watched The Office. That's the closest to a cubicle or to like real office life that I have. And I mean, even then they have parties all the time with unhealthy food and they have the party planning committee. So I can understand and definitely empathize with how challenging it is on so many levels. And most of my clients work in offices and we work through all those problems all the time. But I'm so excited to talk to you about it. So I know you just pieced out a cubicle life. You're fresh off the corporate boat. But do you have any specific healthy eating horror stories that can illustrate really how tough it is to eat healthy in an office?
I mean, gosh, how much time do we have to talk about this one? Because there is so many different times that this was a huge challenge. Like, one of the first things that comes to mind is I was headed to a training session and the organizers asked us to submit like our dietary preferences or any restrictions we had beforehand so that they could plan and make sure that everybody had something to eat. And when I got there and it was time to eat lunch, I was served like a plate of these like sad lettuce leaves and a couple of tomatoes, and everybody else was just sitting there happily chowing down on pizza. It was so sad.
Oh my God. And
another time too, one of my offices, they used to have like breakfast potlucks all the time. And I remember finding this dish that was labeled like hash brown casserole. And this was before I went like more towards the vegan side of things. And I was super excited because even then it was hard to find stuff to eat. But I found this casserole and I loaded up my plate and I took a big old bite and I bit into like a huge piece of meat. And I was like, oh my God. Luckily there was like a trash can right by and I could spit it out. But like, it's super discouraging sometimes when you make it really clear, like what your preferences are and what you choose to eat and what you don't want to eat. And people like aren't really accommodating for that. So it's just, you know, it can be really hard, but it's doable.
Yeah, let's talk about how it's doable. I mean, I feel like there are a bajillion things that make healthy eating in an office challenging. I mean, I would say from what I understand, maybe number one is like peer pressure and the social office eating pressures. Like you were kind of saying, you know, the best they could do for you is give you like a tomato and like lettuce. And I feel like, you know, most people, I guess, in an office, depending on where you work, I mean, if you're working for like, I know Sun Warrior, my peeps, like they're eating clean in the office. They have a kitchen. They make smoothies every day. But I feel like if you're just working in a non-health food company, it's not necessarily a healthy culture.
Yeah, definitely not. I mean, most of the time you're getting stuff like sandwiches and barbecue and there's chips and cookies. It's not, you know, smoothies and salads for the most part.
Totally. So, I mean, how does one socially acceptably avoid, you know, eating in those kinds of situations? like I was saying, in the office, you see all the different birthdays and holidays and new toner celebrations and stuff that involve cupcakes and chips and all that. So if you're a healthy eater and you're constantly being offered cookies and cupcakes and donuts and chips, or you know, you're being offered, and also like they're there every day. And, you know, there's only, I guess, so much willpower one has when you're confronted with something like that every day or every week. Do you have any strategies for how one can like power through?
Yeah, I mean, gosh, you're absolutely right. Like every day, it seems like there's a celebration of some sort, and they almost always revolve around like cupcakes and cookies for some reason. I don't really get that. And I think too, a lot of the office culture and our culture in general revolves around eating food together and sharing food that we've prepared. So it can be really hard to like extricate yourself from those sorts of situations. But I think that the most important thing is to never go in hungry, like especially if you don't want to eat the food, like, you know, eat something beforehand. And then that way, when you go to the meeting or the party and there's stuff there, you can honestly say, no, thank you. I'm not hungry.
Ooh, yeah.
And yeah. And, you know, we talked about the office and Angela and the party planning committee.
Yes.
They work really hard on those celebrations.
They do.
And
I just got finished watching The Office all the way through. Like last month, I think I finished. And so it's like fresh on my brain. So
yeah,
this is perfect.
I've watched the whole thing like twice. It hit home.
So
you know,
good.
It's just, it's so true. But I mean, they do. They work hard on planning those sorts of gatherings. And it can be really good to just go in and, again, make sure that you ate beforehand, but compliment them and say, oh, wow, you guys did such a great job. Everything looks awesome. I'm really not hungry right now, though. And, you know, if you do want to be a little sneakier, I don't know, this might work for some people, you can totally like load up a bunch of stuff on your plate and walk around and like just pretend like you're eating it. But I don't know if I would recommend that if you think you might actually end up eating it at some point.
Right. So do you usually get fair warning before a work event?
Yeah. Well, if it's like a planned event, definitely you usually get like at least a week or so. So you can plan your getting out of it strategy ahead of time. But there are, you know, some sort of pop-up events in the office. Like, like you'll get notification like a day before that like the CEO is coming in and they're throwing a party. But like, you know, for the most part, you can sort of know when it's coming so you can be prepared.
Is it ever like a BYO situation? I mean, could someone bring in my black bean brownies? Or is it usually like, I can only imagine if I brought my black bean brownies and Angela was like, girl, what are you doing? Or she wouldn't say girl, but she would say snarky comments behind my back to the interviewer. So is there ever a time that you can bring your own healthy stuff so you don't have to necessarily say no? Or are these situations usually like controlled?
Yeah, I mean, from my experience, there are definitely opportunities to bring your own stuff, like potlucks or any sort of like holiday gathering. People are always encouraged to bring their own food. So that's definitely one way you can bring in the healthy black bean brownies. you know, but also another way too is just to bring your own food in anyway. If everybody's already eating and you bring in some food and you're just eating with everybody, it's really not that big of a deal.
Right. At least then you don't, you know, stand out as much.
Right. Right. You're not just standing there like with your arms crossed, like looking down your nose at everybody's food.
Right. Right.
Yeah.
Well, that was one thing I wanted to ask, you know, what are your thoughts on like branding yourself as the office health nut? I mean, you don't want to brand yourself as the food Nazi. That's a different brand that I wouldn't recommend. But like, if you kind of make it known that you do and you don't eat certain things, you know, so people don't ask you if you want the like bacon casserole or the like three cheese dip or whatever, is that a smart move or could that set you up to be in a bad position somehow?
I mean, I think that it's really important to be clear about what you choose to eat and what you choose not to eat. I do think, though, that people are still going to ask questions. I think that some people are just going to be really curious about it and they're going to like think what you're doing is really, really cool and want to ask for advice and maybe even start following your lead because, you know, there's strength in numbers and it's not always easy to eat healthy in the office. And if someone else is doing it, then, you know, it makes it that much easier to keep doing it. But there are always going to be people that are kind of like weird about it. And they're always going to ask questions like, why aren't you eating? Don't you like barbecue? Like, are you on a diet? Mm. And, you know, you have to really look at it as, you know, no matter how polite you are or how clear you are, people are always going to ask questions. It's human nature to be curious about it. And especially if they're being a little, not confrontational, but not necessarily understanding of the way that you eat, it can be really helpful to just remember that it's not really about you. It's more a reflection on them.
Yes.
And you have to learn to accept that and be okay with it and comfortable and just know that they're still going to give you a hard time.
Totally. I think that way all the time, you know, when people, you know, clients come to me and they say, I have a really hard time eating out with friends because everyone always makes me feel just the way you said, where they ask you just a ton of questions and specifically that question, like, are you on a diet? Why are you on a diet? You know, all that. Mm-hmm. And I always say the same thing, that it's not really about you. They're looking at you from, in my perspective, they're looking at you like, oh, damn, I wish I had the willpower or mm-hmm. the strength or the whatever to eat the salad or something instead of yes. the fries or the buffalo wings or the mozzarella sticks or the onion rings or whatever. And I think that they're more talking to themselves and mm-hmm. but through you. And I guess, I mean, obviously it's the same in the office space as you're saying, when people ask you a ton of questions and maybe make you feel on the defense just by like interrogating. I mean, sometimes you just get interrogated and you just feel like, whoa, back off. Mm-hmm. You know, even if they're not saying anything mean, it's just like, why are you eating that? Why don't you eat this? What's so good about this? It's like, back off, you know?
Yeah,
like, I don't ask
totally.
You why you're wearing a blue shirt and what's wrong with a red shirt and why you chose short sleeves instead of longs. Like, calm down. So, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I definitely completely agree. I totally choose to think of it as, and it takes a long time to get comfortable thinking of it this way, but definitely, like, you know, they're looking at you with admiration that you are so willing to stick to your guns and not give in to the peer pressure. So they're definitely looking at you like, holy crap, props for eating that salad.
Yes. And they wish they did it too. Because I know in their heart of hearts, it's the right thing to do. And mm-hmm. they wish that you weren't doing it because you're reminding them of what they're not doing.
Absolutely.
So if you're coming into an office, like, what's a good way to sort of like brand yourself sort of as the health nut? I mean, should you just sort of, I mean, the way that I would do it, I know, is kind of be the class clown about it. You know, I would make it funny. So I would make jokes about it. If somebody offered me a cupcake, I'd be like, is it vegan and gluten-free and disgusting? No, I don't think so. Like, oh, I'm not going to eat it. You know, I just like self-deprecating jokes all the time.
Yeah.
Do you have other strategies? Like, how have you done it in the past? Because maybe that's not for everyone.
Yeah, I mean, it can be hard. It depends. Like, if the office culture isn't accepting of, you know, that sort of like fun stance on things, that, you know, it doesn't always go over well sometimes. But the way that I've done it in the past is to just, you know, you got to do you. So I would always be bringing, like, you know, my gluten-free vegan cupcakes and, you know, offering them to people and giving them a chance to see how good the food can be. And again, you know, we talked about people start asking questions. And then when they hear like how awesome you feel and how easy it is to eat healthy, you know, it just starts to spread and people are really excited about it. So I think being able to share that is a really good way to bring your way of eating into the office.
Yeah. So you've brought in like treats before and just given them out to people.
Well, I wouldn't say give them out. We used to have, I'm not that nice. We used to have like bake sales and, you know, everybody would do their crazy sugar loaded dairy all over the place, cupcakes, and I'd be like, oh gosh, I can't eat that. It's going to make me sick. So I'm going to make these delicious vegan ones that are, you know, good for you and taste good. And people liked it. They bought them. I mean, I didn't win the competition or anything, but, you know, there was another option represented. So I think that's always great.
That's awesome. That's funny you had a bake sale.
I was like the organizer too.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
What was it for? Like, what's the purpose?
I think we did it for a Christmas fundraiser for Toys for Tots.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Cool. So, well, on the topic of pressure and peer pressure and stuff, I know that lunch is a big thing. You know, I think, you know, like lunch meetings or, you know, maybe like a buddy in the office wanting to escape, you know, the air conditioning and go to lunch with you, or, you know, I feel like that can be very, very, very challenging to stay healthy while going out to lunch. Like you, maybe you don't have great choices nearby, or maybe the people you're going with just want to go to, like, I don't know, an unhealthy place. So what about those kinds of situations, like pressured lunches?
Yeah, like going out to lunch is some sort of like weird office worker rite of passage. Like, and the FOMO is for real. Like if you are the only one that's not going out to lunch, like it can get kind of awkward. So, I mean, if you want to go hang out with your coworkers or your like work husband or whatever, like, and, you know, be social, that's totally cool. That's like awesome for wanting to do that. But if you don't want to eat the food, like you said, if there aren't any healthy options or, you know, anything that you might actually enjoy eating, then like I said before, make sure that you eat something beforehand. That way you're not going there hungry, feeling, you know, forced to eat something that you don't want to eat. And I would say to like get a drink or something, maybe not an alcoholic drink. I hear some offices frown upon that during work hours.
I would think so.
But yeah, yeah, some of them do.
It's forbidden at PIMP headquarters.
Oh, wow. There you go.
We can do kombucha or like a mushroom tonic thing, but we don't do alcohol in the middle.
No alcohol. Yeah. Okay. but yeah, if you just get like, you know, a tea or something like that so that you're not sitting there empty handed. And then again, you know, we talked about making a joke out of it or being self-deprecating. You can totally pull like a Leo in Titanic and say, here I am at this fancy restaurant having tea with you fine people. And then it just sort of breaks the ice. And I think that that's really helpful. But if you really honestly just don't want to go out to lunch, I think the best way is to just be polite about it. You know, if someone is giving you that invite and you just don't want to go, just be honest and say, hey, thanks so much for the invite. I brought my lunch today, but how about we go out next time?
Right. And do you really go out the next time or do you keep dodging it?
Yeah, no, I totally kept dodging it. Okay. But they'll stop asking eventually.
Nice. Perfect. Yeah. Relationships 101.
yes. Good way to be tight with the coworkers.
So when you say eat ahead, I assume that means you bring your lunch and then I guess, do you always know what time, you know, everyone would be going out to eat so you can kind of eat quickly before that, I guess?
Yeah, I think usually, I mean, most offices, people go out anytime between like 11:30 and 1 o'clock. So it's pretty standard. So you can definitely, whether it's just having a snack, depending on the time, or eating your whole lunch before you go, it's totally doable. And a lot of the time people will say, hey, we're going to go to lunch at noon. And, you know, they're calling at 11 o'clock. So you've got a heads up that you can chow down beforehand.
I feel like for people listening, it might be a ridiculous idea that I've never really worked in an office. And I'm thinking about it as you're talking. I did have an internship when I was a junior in college at College Humor. And that was an office. There was an office in Union Square in New York. And it was, there were no cubicles. It was like open, you know, hip, College Humor. And that was an office. And we did go out to lunch. Like people went out to lunch. And that was my experience. But that was so long ago. You know, since then I worked at David Letterman. I mean, that wasn't an office job. I was working with the audience every day, like pumping them up. And we'd like, I'd bring my own little snacks and eat kind of like backstage. You weren't supposed to, but I wanted to. I didn't want to go like 8 hours without eating. So I'd eat little snacks and bars and salads that stunk up the room. And everyone got mad at me because like it was like nutritional yeast. And everyone was like, what the hell? Anyway, I just wanted to put that out there that I don't know what I'm putting out there, but I guess I feel weird personally that I've not worked in an office place.
Yeah, I mean, I think
venting here.
Just, you know, yeah. I mean, not everybody does. There's a lot of people now, you know, like business owners or entrepreneurs or whatever, that they don't work in an office. But that doesn't mean that you still don't have the challenges of eating healthy while you're working.
Just because
you're not in a cubicle doesn't mean that there's temptations. I mean, there's restaurants all over the place and you're at home and your car is right there. You can go eat wherever you want. So the challenges are still there. You're not going to get away from it just because you don't work in an office.
That's true. Well, let's talk about, I mean, lunch. All right. We were talking about going out to lunch, but let's talk about eating in lunch, because lunch, arguably for me, is my toughest meal of the day because of exactly what you just said. I mean, it's still work. I'm working at home, but I'm still struggling to figure out lunch all the time. So I'm curious what your thoughts are, you know, about packing plant party lunches for the workplace. You know, you mentioned like eating ahead before going out, you know, if everyone's going out to eat, what kind of food do you make and bring to eat ahead? And if you're not eating ahead, if you're just eating lunch in the office, what are some of your go-to plant party meals?
I mean, I'm with you. I think lunch was always really hard for me for some reason. I think it was because, you know, I have like a sensitive digestion system. So I felt like a lot of the times I would eat things and I would just get like my stomach would get super upset because I was eating when I was stressed out. So
same. That's why I don't love to eat lunch.
Yeah. Yeah.
Even excitement though, you know, excitement translates in your body as stress as well. Your body doesn't know the difference between like excitement, like, woo, like this is great. I'm recording an awesome podcast. Like I'm so happy. Oh my God. And you know, bad anxiety, you know, like, right. Oh God, life sucks. I have this deadline and da, da, da. So for me, a lot of the times, you know, I have both. I have like stress and then I also have like positive excitement going on throughout the day. And both of those things can make my stomach weaker to be able to digest. So for me, lunch is, that's my struggle as well. And why it's hard to eat. I don't want to stop because I'm going. And it's hard to stop and then settle my stomach enough to really digest a meal. But it's one of my biggest goals for myself because it's really not good not to eat lunch.
Yeah, totally agree. And that's why I think that for me personally, like one of my go-tos is smoothies because, you know, they're really easy to prepare ahead of time. They're easy to take with you. I mean, it's a super easy way to get a bunch of nutrition in there. And again, it's super easy to digest. And again, we talked about like, when you have digestive issues or you're stressed out or you're really excited or you're happy, anytime you're eating when you're not calm and you can give yourself something that's easier to digest, I think that's really awesome. And the one thing I would say about smoothies is if you do go that route, make sure that you are pumping it up with some protein for sure, whether it's, you know, your clean protein powder or
Sun Warrior.
Sun Warrior, yes.
Ooh, sorry.
Or maybe some nuts or some nut butter, even hemp seeds. Just having that extra dose of protein in there is going to make it more like a meal and keep you full longer. And, you know, another thing too that I've done in the past and I know a lot of people really enjoy is mason jar salads. It's like, again, super easy to prepare a bunch of them ahead of time and you get lots of veggies in there. You can get some healthy fats and some protein. And as long as you're layering it strategically and keeping those greens at the top, it's not going to get soggy. And all you have to do is literally like dump it out when you want to eat it and you're ready to go.
Where do you dump it?
Well, let me tell you, you have to make sure that you have a big enough bowl. Like I've made this mistake so many times. Like I would put it in, you know, one of the big mason jars and I would stuff all my stuff in there. And then I would be at the office and for whatever reason, not have a bowl and go for one of those, you know, paper bowls that everyone always seems to have. And I would dump out my, and it would just like go everywhere. It like overflowed the bowl. So just make sure that you have a really big bowl. That is like
Like a mixing bowl.
Tip number one. Yes, like a mixing bowl.
And just leave it in the office place?
Yeah, like you can totally just like keep stuff at your desk. I always kept like silverware and stuff at my desk. And, you know, there's sinks and like kitchens and stuff and you can wash it right there, you know.
Perfect. So yeah. Let's talk about, okay, two things I want to talk about. First, how you layer a mason jar salad. Like what's your little formula for that?
Yeah. I mean, I think the most important thing is to make sure that you're putting like the dressing on the bottom. You don't want to put it on the top of everything, you know, once you've got everything in there, because the dressing is just going to like ooze down and like all your soft veggies are going to soak it up and everything's just going to get soggy.
Or on the side, right? Just in a little Tupperware thing? Yeah. Jar or something?
That totally works too. So dressing bottom on the side. And then you can put, you know, start putting like your hard veggies in there, any like carrots or stuff like that. And then, you know, then as you get higher up, you put the softer stuff like tomatoes or any fruits that you might be putting in there. And then on top of that, like nuts or seeds, even quinoa, if you're feeling it. And then, you know, the top layer is, of course, your leafy greens and just pack that shit in there. Just like really get it in there so that you're making sure that it's enough. Like, you know, it's really tempting to just like put like a handful in there, but you have to, like, if this is your lunch, make sure you're putting enough in there so that it's actually like a meal salad and not like a side salad.
Truth. All right. So mason jar salad. And then do you prepare that in the morning usually before work or do you prepare that the night before?
I like to do it the night before. I'm not like a huge like morning like person. I don't do like big breakfast or like, you know, a bunch of stuff in the morning. Like I like to get up and basically go. So what I found worked for me was like 20 minutes at the end of the day to just prepare anything that I wanted to take with me the next day. So whether that was, you know, smoothies or even overnight oats or the mason jar salads. And even leftovers, like when I was cleaning up the kitchen, I would just scoop up the leftovers into to-go containers. Mm. And then I would just have all of my food ready and packed for the next day.
So you do it the one day in advance. Do you ever like on Monday, look at your whole week and plan that out or on Sunday, that type of thing? Or are you kind of like a next day kind of gal?
Yeah, honestly, I've never really been like a meal prep rock star.
Yeah, me
too. Like, yeah, I don't know. Like, I like to have a meal plan, but I am notorious for not really sticking to it. So yeah. It's like hard for me to like be like, okay, I'm going to make all this stuff. And then I feel bad if I don't use it. So, I mean, I definitely do some batch cooking. Like if I'm making a dish that has quinoa in it, I'll make a big pot of quinoa. So that way I have leftovers, but I'm not spending, you know, 3 hours on Sunday, like making a bunch of stuff ahead of time.
And you've still had success.
I have. So it's possible.
It's possible without the whole meal planning thing. So when you make smoothies, how do you bring those in? Just in a mason jar?
Yeah, I totally just put them in a mason jar. Mm-hmm. Like super easy. Although I have broken a couple. I'm not going to lie.
Really?
Oh yeah, totally. I drop them like in the sink and just,
what?
Yeah,
I've knocked on wood. I'm knocking on wood. Never. I'm just going to jinx it. I'm going to break my first one. God. I shouldn't have said
but
that.
I do give my boyfriend, he takes his smoothies in like a little to-go cup with a straw. So Aww. You can go that route too if you don't want to, you know, break any glass.
But he takes it for the morning. You take it for lunch.
Yeah. He has his in the morning.
That's so
and
cute.
Or, you know, his little snack halfway through the day.
That's fresh. And you mentioned overnight oats. That's a great breakfast.
Yeah, I like overnight oats. I don't always eat them for breakfast for some reason, but I've had them. I'm not always like the most traditional like lunch or snack type person. So I would totally do overnight oats like as part of my lunch or even as a snack, especially if I was planning to work out, I might have some overnight oats like a few hours before my workout because, you know, there's lots of good fuel in there.
Yeah, it's a great pre-workout. Mm-hmm. Especially if you make my recipe with the oats and the chia seeds. Chia seeds are great before a workout to give you the energy to power through and the endurance and all that jazz.
Totally.
So you said there's a clear-cut lunchtime to eat lunch. But what if you worked through your lunchtime or you know, you don't want to take a lunch break because you have XYZ to get done at a certain time. I feel like it's pretty common to just eat at your desk while like powering through. And I feel like that sets you up to really screw with your digestion, right? Have you had that experience?
Yeah, I'm totally guilty of eating at my desk all the time. Like, it would be a good day for me if I would roll over to the other side and I totally had like a placemat that I would put out and I would like put my lunch on there and eat, and then when I was done I would just roll back over to the other side, so I never really left my desk. And like,
that's so cute. You had a placemat though.
Oh, totally. Yeah. And I didn't stop me from making a mess all over my desk anyway, but it sort of helped with the, oh, I'm eating lunch now.
Like mindful eating.
Yes, sort of. Because again, if you're not getting up from your desk, you're still in work mode and you're still like, your computer is right there. You're still thinking, okay, there's like those 5 emails that I have to respond to. And there's that presentation I need to get done by the end of the day. Like, you're just so distracted. And when you're trying to eat, when you're distracted, like, you're not listening to your body. Mm-hmm. You're not getting any cues that like you're full. Like, you don't want to eat anymore. But again, if you're doing all the things while you're trying to eat, like, you're just going to keep eating and you're just going to overeat. And then because you weren't paying attention, you're setting yourself up to overeat later in the day too. So just like, do yourself a favor, get up from your desk. You're going to digest your food so much better. You're going to actually like feel refreshed and energized in the afternoon instead of like sluggish and just like burnt out from working through your lunch hour.
So get up and just go somewhere else and eat. Like, reset. Like, tell your body, I am not working right now, I am eating.
Yes, absolutely.
And bring a placemat.
And a placemat, yes. And your own silverware. That's nice too.
Oh, that's cute. So you always just kept some in your drawer?
I did.
Cool. Well, I want to talk about stocking your drawer. I also want to talk about snacking. But I feel like those two go hand in hand.
Yes, because I think, you know, stocking your desk with healthy snacks is pretty much one of the biggest things that's going to help you eat clean at work.
All right, well, let's talk about it. So what are some good things to keep in your desk drawer?
I mean, it depends on what you like. There's so many things that you can put in there that are really going to help you stay on track with healthy eating. Like, if you have a sweet tooth, and I know I do, I think that it's really helpful to put stuff in your drawers, like maybe just some dark chocolate or like nuts or like granola bars or something that you can reach for really easily when like you're staring at a cupcake and you really don't want to eat it. So like, being prepared and having those things in your drawer is really, really helpful. I like stuff like dates. I think dates are awesome. Dates. And I mean, no discussion of snacking can go without nut butter, because I like to stuff the dates with nut butter.
You know, and, it.
Yeah.
Preaching to the choir.
Oh, yeah. I think we get so focused on having to have these like prepared snacks and like everything has to be ready to eat when you want to eat it. But don't be afraid to like make your own snacks at work. A lot of offices have toasters and microwaves and stuff like that. So if you got to do Toast Tuesday, you can totally like whip out some bread and put some avocado on there, or, you know, like peanut butter and banana. Like, you can do so many different things.
I mean, that's the kind of snacks that I eat here in my home office anyway.
Yeah, me too. I'm like all about the dates with a nut butter.
Mm-hmm. So it sounds like stocking with snacks is the same. It's just the snacks that you love. Do you have any advice on how to not eat those snacks? I mean, I feel like from what I hear with my clients, a lot of people are eating their 3 o'clock snacks at 10:30, which does come down to like, maybe your breakfast should be more satisfying. Might also come down to maybe you're not actually hungry, maybe you're stressed or you're thirsty. So maybe drink water instead of eating your afternoon snack at 10:30 in the morning. But I'm curious if you have any, because I feel like if I was just sitting there with a drawer of like my favorite, you know, like chia bars and nut butters and dates and all that chocolate like right next to me, that would be tough.
Yeah, I agree.
Put a lock on it or something.
Yeah. I think everybody's different. So you have to find what works for you. Like if you're the type of person that knows that that food is there and you're just going to eat it, then I would say maybe not keep so much stuff at your desk. Mm. Like, definitely you need some emergency supplies because you never know when you're going to forget your lunch or you're going to have to work late. So you definitely do still need to have stuff there. But if you have a tendency to just grab food, if you're bored or just because it's there, maybe just scale back a little bit. You can always pre-portion stuff too. Like instead of keeping a whole pound bag of nuts, like put them in little containers or something so that you just grab one. You're not constantly going into the big bag and getting like handful after handful.
That's a really good point.
Yeah. And another thing too that I found really worked for me is just bringing the food that I was going to eat for the day. So that way, like I had everything portioned out already. I knew this was my food that I got to eat for the day. That way I was really conscientious about what I was eating when and spacing it out throughout the day. And it really helps balance your blood sugar. And again, making sure that you're fueling yourself throughout the day so that you're not crashing at 2:30 in the afternoon and like starving because you ate all your food first thing in the morning.
That's a really, really good piece of advice because I feel like that happens all the time.
Yeah.
And it happens for me when I'm out on the fly. You know, if I bring a bar in my bag, you know, say like I've had many experiences where I'm going on a long car ride, okay, and I bring like a bunch of snacks just in case for emergencies. And I know that they're in my bag. I'm not hungry, but I know that they're there. And I just eat them because they're there. I'm like I start to feel maybe the slight pang of hunger. And I'm like, oh my God, I'm starving. I gotta have the chia bar. And it's like so unnecessary. And I feel so silly because I do it all the time. So then I've tried just not bringing the snacks. And then that's stupid because then I get hungry and it's just nice to have the option. But usually the option, oh, the worst is on airplanes.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, I think us all healthy people and regular people too, I assume, but especially us, I just know because like, you know, I've made videos what I pack on an airplane. I just see all the time we're all posting photos of like what I'm bringing as I travel. And it's like we're packing for like a power outage. You know, like we are acting for to go to like to fly to California like 6 hours that we need food for like a trek, a 3 week trek. It's ridiculous, but all that food goes in the belly and it's so unnecessary. And I just feel like that's kind of how it would be in a workplace if I just had all these snacks.
Yeah, I totally hear that. I'm one of those people too that like I over prepare that sort of thing.
You just eat it.
And then I eat it. I think that what's really important is to be honest with yourself about how much food you really need.
Right.
Like, and to ask yourself, when you're going for that food, am I really hungry or am I just bored and looking for a distraction?
Well, I wanted to talk about, I made a little list of things that I would stock in my desk drawer if I had to stock a desk drawer. And I just wanted to share that list.
Yeah.
So I would stock it with teas, tons of teas, tea bags, my caffeinated teas, and then also like ginger tea for digestion or some special just regular like digestion teas. Lots of teas, maybe yerba mate, maybe chamomile, bunch of teas, dark chocolate, but like really, really, really dark. So you can't really eat more than like one bite. Clearly some nuts, like you said. I just love popcorn. So like emergency popcorn, nut butter, chia bars. And then I thought maybe some nutritional yeast.
Oh.
You know, if you're presented with something that you would like to yeast it up on, you know, like maybe it was a day where you had to go get Chipotle and you got a little bowl and you want to come back and sprinkle some new yeast on it. I thought that would be a nice idea. And then amazing grass because you can never, you know, get enough plants. Shake that up.
Right.
Some grains. And then I always have digestive enzymes around.
Mm-hmm.
No more than an arm's length away. So that was just my little fun list.
I totally agree with most of that stuff. I would say if I were building like my dream come true drawer, probably the first thing that I would have in there, of course, depending on how big said drawer is, would be a Vitamix.
Whoa.
Dreaming big. So that I could whip up like a superfood smoothie whenever I wanted. Totally with you on having the nut butter. I would toss in some seed butter too. I buy like 5 pound bags of dates. That would totally go in that drawer as well. And the protein powder, of course, like multiple tubs of protein powder for sure. Ginger tea, totally, for the digestion.
Yep.
Definitely dark chocolate. I'm with you there, too. Even the cacao nibs, just for sprinkling on the dates.
Mm.
Delicious, yes. And I think I would have, like, a little supplement pharmacy in my drawer as well, so that I could always have, in addition to the digestive enzymes, stuff like B complex or, like, astragalus and ashwagandha, because you know you need that sort of support at the office.
Mm. I like L-theanine too, which is great for, it's the amino acid, I think it's an amino acid, that's in matcha that helps you calm down, but also not like zonk out. So yeah. I love that for when I'm stressed, but I don't want to like be put to sleep.
Yes. Yes.
That's great. What about essential oils? I feel like if any place is a nice place for essential oils, it's the office.
Yeah, totally. I have like a stress blend that I swear by. Like not only does it smell delicious, but like it actually really calms you down. So I just, you know, I would always put some on before I went into a meeting or even got on a conference call. And like it really just like helps relax you. But I mean, there are so many different essential oils and they all have like a million different uses.
Mm.
But I think some of the ones that could be helpful in the office in particular are stuff like lemon or lavender, you know, to like help pick up your mood and calm you down. And then something like a thieves blend, which is really good for like your immune system, you know, because there's always tons of germs floating around in the office and we all need a little bit of support when it comes to our immune system.
What's a thieves blend?
I don't know what's in it, but like, I think there's like a bunch of different stuff in it, but like it's supposedly, yeah, it's good stuff.
Well, I remember from the podcast episode all about essential oils, I forget what number it was, but it was early on. Casey said that frankincense is just the end all be all.
Oh.
For immunity, wow. For every single thing. So she said that if she was stranded on a deserted island, it would be Frank that she would want with her of all the essential oils.
Oh, you know what? That does sound familiar. I remember hearing that.
Yes.
Frank.
So yeah, maybe Frank is the another one to keep in the office.
That could be, yes. Add Frank in there.
Add Frank. What about other things that you might want to, you know, keep in the office, like non-food tools? Like I have amethyst on my desk, just like a chunk of it. I forget why I have it, but it's really pretty. I feel like energetically it's supposed to be good. I know purple is a good feng shui color to bring in abundance. That's actually why it's there, because of what I learned about feng shui, which is another episode I will link in the show notes. So much. What are other things, if any, that people might want to keep in their office?
Yeah, I think for me, like a really important thing is a good pair of noise canceling headphones. And I'm not just saying that because I'm an introvert or because I stole a pair from someone at work once.
Ah!
But like, they are seriously super helpful. Like when you need to focus and everybody around you is just like talking and you can't focus on what you need to do, like a good pair of noise canceling headphones will really help you. And I mean, they're awesome too when you really need like peace and quiet, when you're in one of those moods where you just can't deal with people, you just put your headphones on and you're in your own little world.
That's really smart. I do that sometimes here in my home office. It's not like anyone's bugging me, but I'll just put my headphones on. I don't know why. And I just feel more focused and I feel, I don't know, maybe it's a mental thing.
It could be. I don't actually do it when I'm at home, but I did do it at the office. Even if I wasn't like listening to stuff, I would put my headphones on just like, it's like some sort of like trigger that, okay, I'm in the zone now.
Totally.
Maybe that's what it is.
And also like, don't talk to me.
Yes, totally.
That's awesome. That's such a good piece of advice. So everyone basically should go steal noise canceling headphones.
Totally.
Good. That's what we learned. That's everyone's big takeaway from this episode.
Yes. Most important.
What about drinking? I feel like drinking is very important, drinking enough water. Is it awkward in an office to drink a ton of water because you're always walking through the office to pee?
Yeah, I mean, I was definitely that person that was in the bathroom like every single hour, like on the hour. It can be really awkward in a small office when, you know, people can see that you're constantly going in there. But chances are they're also seeing that you're constantly filling up your water bottle.
So they can put two and two together.
Yeah, it should be pretty clear that you're like a camel with a bladder problem and not like a penguin with an explosive poo problem.
Okay, so drinking enough, any tips on drinking enough water?
Yeah, I think, I mean, it's really important to stay hydrated in the office, especially because of, you know, the recycled air, and it can be really like dry in there. So definitely make sure that you have a good bottle that you will use. Like, and it doesn't hurt if it's really pretty too, because I mean, it's nice to look at, and then you're going to have it like within arm's reach. And again, if it's there, you're going to have it. I like to set a goal for my water intake. Like I would say, you know, I'm going to have 2 bottles before lunch, and then I'm going to have 2 more bottles before I leave by the end of the day. So that way you're making sure that you're continuously drinking and you're getting enough water. And I know that a lot of people think that like water is boring and, you know, they can't drink a lot of it, but seriously, just you can jazz it up and make it taste different if you need to. Like you can put your greens powders in there, you can put like fruits or veggies in there so you have like a little infused water. Mm-hmm. Just as long as you're going to drink it, just because that's the most important thing, just make sure that you're drinking it.
Absolutely. And that goes for just life in general. I think picking a water bottle that you love, that, you know, it's honestly sounds ridiculous, but like it's comfortable to drink out of. Mm-hmm. You know, like I don't love drinking out of a huge ball jar. I tend to spill all the time. Like it pours out the sides of my mouth. It splashes me in the face. It's not my fave. So I really like small spouts or like a straw. I'm honestly more likely to drink a ton of water if I have like a smaller spout. And yes. I just know that about me. So I won't put a big thing of a ball jar on my desk because I really won't drink that water. It sounds absurd.
No, I'm totally with you. Like, I won't drink out of a mason jar either. I have like mouth spill issues as well. And I found actually the bottle that really worked for me had like a straw attachment, and it was super easy to drink out of. And it's like, I know I struggle to get enough water when I'm just drinking it out of like a cup or a mug.
Yeah. So,
you know, again, if you have the water bottle and if it's one that, you know, is comfortable to drink out of, that's really helpful.
Yeah, we'll link some of our faves in the show notes. Changing topics a little about standing and sitting. You know, we've all heard that sitting is the new smoking. There's tons of studies out there that prove, you know, there's a link between sitting and all sorts of bad things like diabetes, heart disease, obesity, back pain, depression, anxiety, cancer, all crazy stuff. People love to scare the shit out of us, and that's arguably part of what's going on. But it is true that sitting is very, very bad for us. So have you found any ways in an office to get up more often? Have you ever tried a standing desk?
I was never lucky enough to have a standing desk at work, but I do have one at home, and it is freaking amazing. Like, your energy level is completely different when you're using a standing desk than when you're sitting down.
Wow.
But to get up from your desk more often, I would say there are a bunch of ways you can do it. Certainly, it might be hard to start doing this, but having walking meetings instead of where you all go into a conference room and sit around and stare at each other, like when you're walking and you're moving, like the blood's circulating and you're actually more creative when you're moving than just sitting still.
That's true. I'm most creative on my runs. You should do a running meeting.
There you go. Yeah. I mean, if you work in one of those offices like Sun Warrior and, you know, everybody's really health conscious, that could be a good thing.
Yeah.
You can also, you know, if you're on the phone a lot, and especially if you have a headset, you can take your calls like while you're walking. So just get up, go outside, walk around.
That's cool.
Yeah. I mean, I've done it before. It actually is really nice. It's a change of scenery.
That sounds great.
Yeah, it's nice.
Now, full disclosure, you live in Florida where the weather's beautiful, so you can do that more often than we can here. But
now, in all fairness, I mean, if you go outside right now, you're going to sweat within about 30 seconds. And, you know, it could downpour with thunder and lightning and everything at any given moment. So, I mean,
all right, fine. Touche.
Yeah. Another thing that you can do too is like stealth strength training. I know it sounds silly, but if you're on a conference call, I wouldn't really recommend it if it's a video conference, but you can always mute yourself and do like some squats or some lunges,
no.
calf raises. Oh, totally. You totally can.
No.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I should do that during podcasts. I should stand. I'm sitting like a schlub right now. I should stand. I should do a squat. I should sit. Have you ever sat on one of those balls?
I have.
Is that fun?
It is fun. Like, I found myself, like, bouncing more than just, like, sitting there, though. Uh-huh. And it's, you have to make sure that you have a big enough ball. Like, I mean, that sounds weird. But, like, it has to be big enough so that you're actually, like, up high. Otherwise, like, it's not, you know, ergonomics and all that stuff. Like, you're just going to end up with, like, you know, scrunched shoulders and, like, tech okay. neck and all that stuff.
Good to know.
But, yeah, totally sit on a ball. That's fun.
Yeah. I feel so ashamed right now. I'm just, like, schlubbed over. I'm going to fix my posture right now. Any other tips for that?
I think it's very tempting to just sit in your desk and not move. You know, we've got email and we've got the phone. But honestly, just get up and walk down the hall and talk to your coworker instead of screaming over the walls at your coworker.
Like, that's nice.
Like, yeah. I mean, the little face-to-face interaction never hurt anybody. And I think, too, never forget about the stairs. Like, take the stairs, especially if you work in an office where it's only like 2 or 3 floors.
Right.
Maybe not if you work on like the 77th floor or anything like that. But I mean, the stairs, like, just it adds up. So all of these small things that we talked about, it all really just adds up to not only keep you moving more throughout the day, but like, you know, burning some calories and making you a little more productive and energized.
What about those people that I've never been able to understand? They seem mind-blowingly awesome to me, that can take breaks from work, like their lunch hour, and go to the gym. Like, what? How do you do that?
So I've done this, full disclosure.
It's mind-blowing.
It's tough, but I mean, you're not going to get in like a full workout, but you can totally get in a like 20-minute workout. I mean, I've done it. Luckily, I had like a gym at my office, and so I could go change and
get in
my workout.
What do you mean, your office?
Like in the office building, they had a gym.
Wow.
Yeah. It wasn't like a fancy gym. There was like a couple of treadmills.
Like a hotel gym?
Yeah, like a hotel
wow,
gym.
That's kind of cool, though.
But there was a locker room and there were like showers. So you could, wow. you know, do your little workout and then take a shower. Yes, you're like the weird person that's sitting at your desk with like wet hair and whatnot. But you still managed to get in a workout. And like you said, like I think it's pretty awesome that you're actually able to do that. And I think one of the things too that makes it easier, even if you just go for a walk on your lunch break, mm-hmm. is to keep stuff like sneakers and socks in your desk so that,
right.
you know, it's easier to go walk around in sneakers than it is in 4-inch heels.
Right. Also, it's kind of like we were saying about snacks, how if the snacks are there, you're going to be really tempted to eat them. Maybe if your sneakers are there, you're going to be really tempted to put them on your feet and go use them.
I think so. I mean, that's what they talk about sometimes when, you know, people have a hard time getting up in the morning and working out. They tell you to put your workout clothes and your sneakers where you're going to see them when you wake up.
Right. That's a cool idea, though, to keep sneakers and stuff at your desk.
Yeah, I think, like you said, if you see them there, it's kind of like a trigger. And I think that, you know, you're going to want to use them. So try it out.
Awesome. Wow, this was full of so much information. Is there anything that we didn't cover that you're burning to say about eating in an office, clean cubicle?
I think I just want to remind everyone, again, we talked about that, you know, you have to take control of what you're eating. You can't really, in an office, rely on other people to provide healthy food for you. So if it's really important to you, you have to go the extra effort or the extra steps and, you know, bring your food and make sure that it's working for you. Because, you know, people aren't, you know, they're just not going to, no one's going to do it for you. It's you have true. To do it for yourself.
It's so true. And that, to me, goes back to figuring out your why, for why you want to be healthy. And I talk to clients about this all the time. You know, when the going gets tough, why do you want to eat healthfully? And if you can remind yourself of that why, is it to have great energy, clear skin, longevity, to fit into your pants on a daily basis, whatever it is, if you remind yourself of that, then the donuts will be less tempting. The idea of, you know, bringing your own lunch will be less sucky. The idea of getting up for a walk will be less weird.
Right.
It's all about the why.
It is.
So I wanted to just ask you this. Do you remember that podcast episode in which I talked about quitting and I mentioned I helped a rock star client quit her job, which was killing her stomach, and she wanted to do bigger and better things with her life?
Yeah, I definitely remember that episode.
And do you remember when that client was you?
I totally remember that. Now, do you remember the acupuncture episode where there was another client on there that was like kind of a rock star too?
Who was scared, had a really bad acupuncture experience?
Yeah, yeah.
That I one do was remember good that too. One. So you, this is actually your third appearance on the podcast, unbeknownst to you, I guess, or other people.
Yeah, I'm like, I think I'm like your biggest repeat guest right now.
You so are. You so are. I wanted to ask you, I mean, it's true. And I encourage people to go back and listen to the episode about quitting. And I do talk about how we work together. You were one of my pride and joy clients. And I just want to make a side note. Clearly, you know what the hell you're talking about. So coaching isn't just for people who don't know what kale is. You know, so everyone needs accountability. I need accountability. Everyone needs help. I just wanted to say that. Would you agree?
Yeah, I would totally agree. I think, you know, having that outside perspective really can help you figure out what's missing. Like you said, for me, it wasn't the healthy eating. It wasn't the working out. Like, I had it all figured out.
Oh, yeah.
But it was like the career and the stress that was really a problem for me. And having someone like you or me or another health coach, whoever, someone in your corner that can work with you on those issues and hold you accountable to actually doing something about it,
right,
is really, really helpful.
Right. Yeah, you eat more plants than I do, arguably. I mean, you did not need help in that category, but learning that your stomach killed because you hated your job or you were eating while stressed, I think was game changer for you. So on that note, how is it going having quit your job? I mean, is your stomach doing better? Are you happier? Or, you know, just fill us in. Give us an update.
Yeah, definitely.
Good decision.
Yeah, good decision for sure. You know, digestion for me is always like, it's a day-to-day like thing, you know, because I'm so sensitive to like my surroundings. But it's now that I really understand what a connection there is between, you know, my environment and what I'm eating and how it affects my digestion, it's huge. So I'm better able to plan for what I eat and make sure that I'm being mindful and like approaching my food when I'm calm rather than like stress eating or just eating because it's supposed to be lunchtime. Mm. So it's, you know, again, total game changer. Like, I think everyone needs to be aware that there is such a huge connection between like your emotions and your digestion.
100,000%. 100,000%. So before I let you go, the usual questions. Do you have a favorite plant party restaurant you'd like to share with us?
Yeah, totally. There's some really good restaurants here in Orlando, but the one that I find myself going back to all the time is the Market on South. And if you go, it's like 100% vegan, everything. And they have like a little bakery as well. But I would definitely recommend, my go-to is the TLT sandwich with the tater salad. And
TLT, tempeh, lettuce, tomato?
Tempeh, oh, yes. Oh, it's so good. And they have this like lemon mayonnaise type dressing that is just so good.
Yeah.
So good.
That sounds great. What's your favorite plant to eat?
This was a tough one, but I think I would say bananas because I am like the person that buys 3 pounds of bananas. Like,
what do you do with it?
Week.
With them?
Well, lots of smoothies, of course. Uh-huh. But, you know, I like to make little like banana and like peanut butter like sandwiches, you know, just out of like the peanut butter and the banana. That's always good.
So you literally just take 2 chunks, put peanut butter in the middle, and then eat it?
Yeah. Yeah.
Sounds great. What's your go-to smoothie?
You know, there's this one, I think it's actually, I think I got it from Megan Gilmore, the Detoxinista. It's a chocolate superfood smoothie. And it's just like, she actually uses water and chia seeds and hemp seeds and dates and a cacao powder. And it tastes super, super good. Like, and obviously it's super good for you. And just a testament to that is like my boyfriend requests that one.
Wow. And he's
like, is it chocolate superfood day?
Oh. So- he sounds like a keeper, as does that smoothie.
Yes. Both. Yes.
What is your most used kitchen tool?
I think if you were to ask me, I would say it's definitely my Vitamix. I use that thing like multiple times a day. It's like a lifesaver.
Why did you say it like if I were to ask you?
Yeah, because
who else would I be asking?
Yeah. My boyfriend thinks it's a butcher knife. And
oh, okay. You guys discuss this.
Yeah. he's like, and of course this morning, like I had just washed the butcher knife and it was sitting there drying and he's like, see, look, it's there.
Fine. I guess it's a tie. Tell him you said it was a tie.
Okay.
Also, when you say butcher knife, it kind of creeps me out.
Yeah, sorry.
Chef's knife.
Chef's knife, whatever.
Is there a book that's inspired you in some awesome way?
Yeah, I think definitely Elizabeth Gilbert's Big Magic. It was the book that really, besides you, that inspired me to quit my day job. Aww. Because it felt like working in an office for me, it felt like all the creativity had been sucked out of me. Mm. Like when I was younger, I was writing all the time and like, you know, stories and like poetry and all kinds of creative stuff. And then when I was working in the corporate world, like I just stopped doing all of that. And Big Magic really made me believe that my creativity was still there. And I was just like waiting for the right opportunity to use it again.
Oh, that's really sweet. That's awesome. So speaking of being creative, you've created an Eat Clean in Your Cubicle program.
Yes.
Want to tell us slightly about that? I don't know why I just said slightly. Want to tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah, sure. It's a one-on-one coaching program where basically what we do is we figure out how we can set you up for success with snacking and eating clean at work. So, you know, like we talked about throughout this episode, finding what works for you, whether that means stocking your desk with healthy options or figuring out what kind of food you need to bring throughout the day.
Right.
It's all about, you know, giving you those options and working together to, you know, find a plan that works for you and set you up for success.
That's awesome. So where can everybody go to get more info?
You can visit my website, which is eatcleanyourcubicle.com. I recently switched it from my name, which I'm not going to try and spell. So it would have been tracykinzora.com.
Mm-hmm.
But either one will get you there now.
Perfect. And where can everybody go to find more about you?
Definitely the best place is the website for sure, eatcleanyourcubicle.com. I'm also on Instagram, under Tracy Kenz, and Facebook on Tracy Kenzora, and I'm sure we'll link that in the show notes.
Maybe we will, maybe we won't. Cliffhanger.
Nice.
Just kidding. All right, thank you so much for coming on the podcast and for being awesome and for inspiring all of us. I'm going to stand up right now to stop sitting so much and for putting up with my antics today.
Oh, no, thank you. It was awesome being here. Thank you so much for having me.
My pleasure. Thanks so much for listening to the Party in My Plants podcast. I hope you're feeling pretty pumped and prepared to plant party in your pantsuit. I love that. Know what pairs perfectly with a pantsuit? Opry's plant protein drinks. You knew I was going there, but it's true. And you can go to their site, Drink Opry, that's D-R-I-N-K, drink, A-P-R-E-S, opry.com, and save 15% by using code PARTYINMYPLANTS at checkout. I know you know at least one other human who works in an office and who wants to eat healthier in said office. Visualize that person. Send love to that person. No, actually, send this episode to that person. For easy sendability and also a thorough recap of everything mentioned in this episode, including some awesome workplace recipes, stop on by partyinmyplants.com/112.